त्रिलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गी मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरी
or this pivotal concept of superimposition is
responsible for anartham. Anartham means, hetu means cause of anartham. Anartham means all the trouble. Anartham means like trouble or sorrows and sufferings in the world. All that is due to adhyasam. That's what he says. So, our life or our struggle in the world, or whether it is from a worldly perspective or spiritual perspective, our struggle is basically towards getting out of sorrows and then leading a blissful life. So elsewhere Shankara speaks about the twofold goal of man as dukkha nivritti, removal of dukkha, and sukha prapti, attainment of happiness. So those are the two goals that are common for any individual. So irrespective of whether our short-term or long-term goals are maybe different, but still the ultimate goal, you can say that it is just this twofold goal. Removal of sorrow, sorrowless state, and blissful state. So dukkha nivritti and sukha prapti. So this goal can be achieved. This goal can be achieved only when we realize that entity which is untainted by dukkham, that entity which is blissful in nature. So there has to be an entity which serves this deal or which satisfies these two goals. And that entity is what the scriptures say as Brahman. So how is Brahman beyond dukkham? How is Brahman blissful in nature? So there are many places that this is explained logically as well. So Brahman is termed as Bhuma in one of the chapters of Chandogya Upanishad. So Bhuma means that which is full, that which is perfect, that which is Purnam. So that is Purnam means, like Purnam means perfect or complete in all aspects. That which is complete or perfect in all aspects, there cannot be any sorrow in it. Because sorrow arises out of limitedness or limited state. Like whenever we are in a limited state, we get sorrow. So if we have something, we are not happy because it is limited. We want more. So that's the reason why we get sorrow and we don't get bliss. So bliss and sorrow, Brahman is blissful, as we have learned in the previous part. We have learned that anandam akanda anandam adharam anandam akanda bodham akanda ananda bodham. So anandam, it is blissful in nature. We experience it during deep sleep, so it is anubhavam as well. So we know that it is anandam. But it is also devoid of dukkham because it is not limited. It is unlimited. It is infinite or anantam. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. That's how Taittiriya Upanishad speaks about Brahman. Anantam. So anantam means it is devoid of all limitations. So again, speaking of limitations, limitations are possible with respect to three planes or three factors. One is time, second is space, and then third is causation. Causation means like getting into cause-effect. Being a cause or being an effect, that limits an entity. So time, with respect to time, Brahman is not limited by time because it is present always. It is present always. It is always there. Even like if we take just a sample or sampling, if we apply the sampling technique that is used in software or any industry, if we take a sample of like one day, 24 hours, if we take, we can see that eye or the pulsating eye never ceases to exist. That means it is present always. It is present always. If it is present always, then it is beyond time, therefore it is not limited by time. And it is not limited by space. Desham. It's not limited by space because Viyat Prasuve Namaha. So Viyat Prasu. Prasuve means like Viyat. Prasu means like the womb. Viyat means Akasham. Womb of Akasham. That's how Lalita Rasnama describes Devi. Atmanah Akashah Sambhutam. From the Atman came Akasha. So that's what even the Shastras say. So that which is beyond Akasham, that which is the cause of Akasham, cannot be limited by Akasham. And also Shastras say that Brahman is all pervasive. It is present everywhere. Even as the dreamer is present in the entire dream world, similarly, Brahman is present in this entire world, therefore he is not limited by space. He is also not limited by causation because, one, he is not an effect. Effect gets limited by causation because an effect has a limited time period. And a cause is also in a way limited because in the cause the effect is seen and cause gets limited. But Brahman alone is present everywhere. If Brahman alone is present everywhere, then the Brahman ceases to be a cause as well. It is a substratum of the illusion. Therefore, it is not limited by causation as well. So, Vidyaranya gives like in one shloka, in Panchadashi he gives Deshataha. This the same logic he gives about like Nityam, Nityatva, Kalataha. Brahman is not limited by Kalam because it is Nityam, eternal. Brahman is not limited by Desham because Sarvavyapitva, it is all-pervasive. And it's not limited by causation because it is the self of everything. It is a substratum of everything, therefore it's not limited by causation. So that means Brahman is Anantam or unlimited. And that which is unlimited will have bliss. That is the concept that is explained in Chandogya Upanishad. It's a very simple concept. Like the more and more we get, our happiness increases. So if we are like unlimited, then happiness also will be unlimited. So Brahman is unlimited. So since it is unlimited, it will give us Anandam. So Anandam is possible in Brahman, and unlimited means limited or limited state causes sorrow. But Brahman is unlimited, that means there is no dukkham, there is no scope of dukkham in Brahman. So we may think, oh, Ishvara, Brahman created this world, lokavattu tat leela kaivalyam. Even the Brahma Sutra says, lokam is tat leela kaivalyam, his leela, it's his leela. That's how like lokam is considered, Ishvara's or Brahman's leela. So if it is his leela, then how can his creation have sorrow? So Amma says, Amma answers this by telling that in his creation there is no sorrow, as we have discussed quite a lot. In his creation there is no sorrow because Mahatmas like Amma and Ramana Maharshi don't see sorrow in the world. But then how is sorrow caused? Sorrow is caused out of our ego. Sorrow is caused out of our mental state, impurities in our mind. Atha sarvasya jivasya bandhakrit manasam jagat. But Vidyaranya says in Panchadashi that bandham is not caused out of Ishvara's creation. Bandham is caused out of our interpretation, our mental world created out of the external world. The world or jagat created by Ishvara. So Ishvara's jagat means only Brahman is there, only sukham. But that's why we get dukkham. So this dukkham arises out of like this ego or the mental thought, which means there is adhyasam. All those are due to adhyasam. Without adhyasam, nothing is really possible. Like all dukkham activities, all these are possible only due to adhyasam. If not, there will be only one Brahman. So the moment we realize that adhyasam is not there, I am that pulsating self, I am Bodham, I am Brahman, then everything, all of this ceases to exist. When all of this ceases, there is no dukkham, there is only Anandam. There will be only Anandam. That's the state of realization, or that's the state of Brahman. So, coming back, so dukkha nivritti sukha prapti, the goal to be achieved, or the goal or entity that satisfies both of these is, of course, Brahman, or whatever Brahman we discuss, like Akanda Ananda Bodham, devoid of Nama Rupam. So that is, that entity is what is capable of satisfying Dukkha Nivritti as well as Sukha Prapti. And since that goal satisfies these two, therefore we have to know Brahman. So if we have to know Brahman, again, like as we discussed in this introduction, if we have to know Brahman, then what is it that obstructs our vision of Brahman? So we may concentrate on Brahman, but what is it that obstructs us to know our own nature of Brahman? It is very evident. Svatah siddham anadyantam. Svatah siddham. In Advaita Macharanda, the author says, Svatah siddham. Siddham means proved or established. Svatah by itself. It is self-proving. That's why it's called Swayam Prakasham or Swaprakasham. It is Swayam Prakasham. It is Svatah siddham. But if it is Svatah siddham, then why am I not experiencing it? So that is where like Vedanta gives, or Shankara gives, one word answer to all this, that it is due to Adhyasam. So Adhyasam is that which stands in between us and our own nature of Brahman. So Adhyasam is that which stands between our state of sorrow and the state of Moksham or Ananda. Remove Adhyasam, we will realize. So as we discussed, like there are different perspectives to it. Like one is Nama Rupam. So know that there is no Adhyasam. That is the way to come out of Adhyasam. If we have to come out of Adhyasam, know that there is no Adhyasam. If we need to know there is no Adhyasam, Adhyasam itself means superimposition. That means there are two entities. So Adhyasam itself means we need to know those two entities. Once we know those two entities, then we'll be able to split. It's like telling in Adhyasam, in the state of Adhyasam, we see snake in the rope. Snake is superimposed on the rope. Then there is only snake. So the way to get out of this sorrow state is knowing that this is Adhyasam first. First step is know that this is Adhyasam. So when we know that snake is a superimposition, then we will be able to split snake from the substratum, which is rope. That is called Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekam or Chit Jara Chintanam, whichever way we define it. We split the substratum, we split the illusion, we split the real from the unreal. When we do that, then it's very simple. Snake doesn't exist. So remove snake, negate snake. Negate means how can, like in one of the places, but Shankara says that we have to set aside the body. Go beyond the body. Go beyond the body means not cut the body into pieces. But what it means is know the knowledge that there is no body. So for an illusion, for that which is not real, we cannot remove it. We can only sublate it by the knowledge that this is not there. We cannot remove water seen in desert. We can only say there is no water. That knowledge removes water automatically. So we have to get rid of this duality, dual notion, and then stick on to whatever is left behind is. So that is what is called Jagan Mithya, Brahma Satya. Jagat Mithya, remove it, and Brahma Satya. And Brahman is my nature, as we discussed, Bodham, therefore, will automatically be realized. So that is what is required to get rid of Adhyasam. First is, know that it is Adhyasam. Second, split the entity, split that which is like that which is superimposed and that which is the substratum. So the illusion from the substratum. And once you split those both, and once you know them clearly, then automatically you become realized. So next comes the question of, or the topic of, like, if these two entities are there, if snake is different from rope, both are different, then how is it that we have superimposition? How is superimposition possible? So whenever, when we speak about Adhyasam, the first question comes, how Adhyasam? How is it possible? So Shankara starts his Bhashya by giving a beautiful explanation to this. So he uses a lot of words there. I will not enter into all those words, but he says that though these both, the unreal and the real, so the unreal and the real, they both are contrary in nature. Though they are contrary in nature, yet we mix them. And how is this mixing possible? It is, Shankara says that in the Vyavaharam, it is natural. So he says, Naisargikam. Naturally happens. Maybe because ignorance is there, or we don't know that ignorance doesn't exist. lack of knowledge that ignorance doesn't exist, whichever way we put it, but it is natural. So in the world we see it like that, this happens quite naturally, though both are like both have diverse nature, yet we mix both of them. Chit is very different from jadam, but still we mix them. Oh, I am clear, how can I mix? So we don't mix. Ajnanis are people who haven't started in the path, they mix it. We also mix it when we have trouble or when we forget this, we also mix it. If we don't mix it, we are already realized. So that means it is natural. So he says, though it is not possible, though it's not possible exactly to mix both, it's not really possible, but still we mix it. So Shankara attributes this to ajnanam or ignorance. So adhyasam is caused out of ajnanam. Both are almost same, like it is just one level going behind that. Ignorance of the reality, we don't know the reality, it's veiled, therefore what happens is, so ignorance, the reality is not known, that is called ignorance. Because of that, superimposition automatically happens, and it is natural, is what Shankara says here. And because of this natural, what is the purpose of this natural adhyasam? Because of this adhyasam, though I am one with Brahman, only one Brahman, akhanda bodham, still I say aham idam mama idam. I am this, this is mine. So aham mama, those two thoughts, those two things come up. So first, we can say first aham comes, and once aham or the ego comes, then mama automatically starts, because when we are at the ego plane, we will have duality. So because of the duality, mama starts, and that is what is called dukkham, or like that, which leads us to the state of samsara. So the way to come out of this is first negate aham mama. So first thing is we have to know adhyasam, and then split those two. So we know that, adhyasam, what is the cause of sorrow? If we have to list down chronological order, if we have to list down how sorrow came, then reality is there, but ajnanam, we have ajnanam. Out of ajnanam, adhyasam is caused. Because of adhyasam, we mix sat and chit, chit and jadam. We mix sat and asat, or chit and jadam. And because of that, we have aham and mama. That means dvandva bhavam or namarupam is considered as real. And that leads to dukkham. So we have to retrace our steps, go back. So if we have to go back, then the first thing we need to do is know that, these two are adhyasam. Know the nitya vastu from the anitya vastu. Once you know the nitya vastu from the anitya vastu, then anityam is not there, nityam is only there. That's the way to come out of this thing. So Shankara gives two analogies to explain, examples to explain this adhyasam and this illusion or superimposed state. So he says it is natural. Normally people use nirnodalar, I am this, nirnodalar, chokal, naturally it happens. So, but he says, he gives two examples of superimpositions in the world. So one is silver seen in anchor, that is one. And the second is two moon. Because of wrong vision, a person doesn't have proper eyes. So he sees the moon, he sees as if two moons are there. So these both explain that, this superimposition is caused, superimposition of silver in anchor is caused when we don't know anchor. When we don't know anchor, then automatically silver is superimposed on the anchor. And as to how silver is superimposed, is silver really there? All those questions cannot be answered because there is no silver at all. So that which is not there, we cannot analyze on that. We can only know that there is chit and jadam. So split chit and jadam. Once you split chit and jadam, then you will automatically be able to concentrate on chit, on Brahman, and thereby realize. So adhyasam is the cause of all sorrow. Adhyasam leads to all sorrow. Getting out of adhyasam, then, as we discussed, getting out of adhyasam is Kinchit Jada Chintanam or Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekam. So we should know that all the problems, like if we trace back all problems, it's not Ajnanam that causes problems. Right? It is Ajnanam ultimately, but it is Adhyasam which causes problems. So get rid of Adhyasam, Ajnanam has no scope. So get rid of Adhyasam through Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekam. That means always remember that Dhamma Satyam Jagan Mithya. There is only Brahman. Everything else is an illusion. That means there is only one entity here, and I am that pulsating Bodham, I am that Brahman which is a subject matter of Brahma Sutra, and I am not the ego, I am not the body. So that's where Neti Neti Prakriya is generally used. So we negate everything, whatever is there apart from Brahman, that's only Namarupam. That is either Namarupam way or illusion. It is an illusion. It is something which just appears like silver seen in nacre or like two moons seen. It's not real. It just appears to be real. So that is the way. So Shankara speaks about like lot many things. So we will not enter into it because few are like logical things that he explains, like objections and other things. So that's not required, but it's worthy to note that in one place he speaks about human beings who don't have this Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekam, or like who don't do Chit Jada Chintanam. People who don't do that, they are like Pashus or cows. So he uses the analogy to show that like when there is a cow, a person like goes near the cow and a person shows like some grass, the cow will come running behind him. And when the person like shows a stick, the cow will go away. So we are like that. It's like telling that like if we don't have Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekam, if somebody pleases us, we'll run behind it. If somebody scolds us, we'll run away. So we'll be like cows. So that is what Shankara says. There are many other points and all, like it's those are all covered, because like Sat, if we have Chit Jadam, then is it Brahman really getting affected by it? Brahman is not really getting affected by it, because if in the case of snake seen or silver seen in nacre, like because of silver seen in nacre, does nacre get the impurities of the silver? It doesn't. It is like unattached, unassociated with the silver. Similar way, even though we have the ego thought, even though we are suffering, no, sufferings are also not real. It's a very important concept. I am blissful in nature. If I am really blissful in nature, then these sorrows are also illusion. That means my nature, if there can be an objection that if my nature is Anandam, if my nature is bliss and I have sorrow as well, then how will this match? When sorrows are removed, bliss is there. If we say like when bliss, sorrows are there, also bliss is there, then what removes this sorrow? Will they not be contradicting each other, because sorrow and bliss stay at the same place? So that's where we should remember that sorrow is caused out of ego, bliss is caused out of the pulsating self. So Bodham and Ahankaram. So the Bodham and Ahankaram are not at the same plane. They are at different planes. You're like telling that the water in desert is dirty. The dirt in the water is only for the water, it's not for the desert. It doesn't affect the desert because the desert is a subtractor. Similar way, Dukkham is caused because of this Adhyasam. We mix, though I, when we use I, it is the self, because only the self can feel this I. But we mix this ego. The moment we bring in ego, Dukkham of the ego also comes to us. But the real I is still unaffected. Like a Sakshi, it is still there. Like the dream, in the dream world, the dreamer goes through a lot of experiences, but the sorrows in that state doesn't affect the dreamer because he is still the substratum of it. So that's a huge difference there. Like the substratum means that remains unaffected. So it's also like telling that sadhakas or ajnanis should be ashamed of their state because dukkham is not really there, dukkham doesn't really afflict me, but still I am getting afflicted. That is because dukkham is with jadam. So chit jadam, contrary in nature, similarly, jadam gives dukkham, chit gives anandam. So both cannot go together, but still both go. That is what Shankara calls as abhyasam. It is like we cannot explain that concept, we cannot say how it happens and all, we cannot say. Only thing we can say is it is there, it is something which is experienced, and we should get rid of it. And like once we know that chitta and jadam is there, then we immediately we will know that this is only an illusion that we feel that I am in dukkham, I have to come out. That is also an illusion. If that is an illusion, why should I try yet to come out? Because I am experiencing the illusion, therefore I have to come out. If I am not experiencing the illusion, there's no point of coming out. I can stop there. I have to do it because I have to come out of it. So this chit-jadam mixing is impossible, but still it happens. Once we know the difference, then we will know that I am Ananda Rupa Brahman. My nature is bliss. I am Ananda Bodham. If I am Ananda Bodham, then whatever happens, like whatever happens to the ego, whatever happens in the world, I'll still remain as blissful. So that's the easiest way to realize, like that is possible only if you have like Nitya Nitya Vastu Vegam. If you are always remember this Chit and Jadam, if you always remember that Jadam is not my nature, Chit is my nature, Jadam is unreal, Chit is real, then whatever happens, I will be blissful because my nature is bliss. It's so easy to tell that, okay, whatever happens, I will be blissful. But when it comes to experience, we will not be able to follow it. So that is how it generally happens. It's so simple, but it's so tough to practice. That is possible only if we know that chit jadam mix happens due to adhyasam. I will have to split it through nitya nitya vastu vivekam, through chit jada chintanam. Once I do that, I know that only chit exists, jadam is only mithya. Once I know that chit is only real and jadam is mithya, and my nature is chit, then I'll be always blissful. Yeah, probably like we'll continue the first shloka after some time.